Well, we're so privileged to be here, and I know you guys don't know us, but you're going to get the chance to know a little about us right now. Hallie, my wife, her name is Hallie, just like the word hallelujah, and that is what she is, and she's the saltiest of dogs and for the gospel. And my daughter, Lainey, here, Lainey's 11, and so they're going to share our part of our slideshow, and then I'll kind of come in at the end. And so, honey?
All right, well, yeah, thank you guys for just letting pretty much perfect strangers roll in. So, yeah, we're just honored to get to come hang out this weekend, and we've had such a great time with you guys, and, yeah, just all of the connection we feel. So we like to start out and just tell a little tiny bit about who we are. And so this is little Brian. He was born into a fun, borderline crazy, loving but lost family in the Sierra Mountains in a small logging town out in California. So the gospel was moving through his mother's side of the family, but not in his immediate family or in his dad's side of the family yet. So Brian always dreamed of being a diesel mechanic. So when he graduated high school, he moved to Laramie and he went to Wyo Tech. So I was raised in a super conservative Christian home. My parents are church planters, and I have three sisters and a brother. I'm the second oldest. I prayed to receive Christ when I was 5 years old with my mom at home. So Brian and I met when my dad was pastoring a church in Laramie where he was going to Wyo Tech. So I met Brian through some other friends, invited him to church, and he became a follower of Jesus about a month later. So we shorten our story and just say we fell in love, we got married, and we lived happily ever after. Because, you know, there's a lot of details in there. So April 4th, we had just celebrated 29 years of being married. And yeah, I was six. So I went on to become a healthcare professional. I worked for the Division of Developmental Disabilities for 26 years, providing direct care for clients with special needs. Brian was working as a diesel mechanic, and we were growing and serving in that church, one of my dad's church plants by now in Casper. So even though I grew up in the church and I went to Christian school my whole life, I served weekly in church. I had a story probably similar to a lot of kids like that. It wasn't until I was 30, when this picture was taken in Zambia, that I truly fell in love with Jesus. I understood his love for me for the first time in my life and understood who I was in Christ. And then this happened. So 17 years of being married, we found out we were going to be parents. So little Lainey Jen came along. We call her our best gift ever.
I don't eat dirt anymore.
The summer of 2017 is where this was taken up at Clydehurst Christian Ranch in McLeod, Montana. This is the summer Lainey accepted Christ, so we like to throw this slide in there. So missions really took hold of us after that trip to Zambia. The next year I returned, Brian went with me. By this point, my parents had moved back east. They were pastoring a church in South Carolina, and Brian was asked to be the missions pastor at our then current church in Casper. So eventually our partnership in Zambia grew from orphan ministry into a medical clinic and then into a small multinational partnership. And so they began reaching out into the unengaged people groups in the Democratic Republic of Congo to an unengaged people group called the Tabwa in the beloved Triangle of Death. So our role needed to decrease much quicker than we experienced over the next 8 years, and actually now there's a thriving foundational work in that people group that only God gets the credit for amongst the Tabwa. We love this quote by Dawson Trotman. I believe it's the next slide. Yeah, do not do what others can and will do if you can do something of importance that others cannot or will not do. Some of you are familiar with the Navigators. We love that quote, and it's kind of a segue into why we're doing what we're doing. So with our mission to the Tabwa and faithful hands of Tabwa believers, God gave us a new focus specifically on people groups to whom the gospel had not yet come. So God led us through Brian's disaster response work, and we started some community development work experiences. So he resigned his role at the church that he was mission pastor, and we joined Frontiers to go into the millions of Muslims living inside of Russia. So this was 2017, our first trip into Russia to see what invitation we may feel to move there. I'm going to let Lainey take a little section.
Thank you. So one out of every four human beings on earth is a Muslim. These are human beings that Jesus created in his image, loves, and died for. I'm learning to love them. There are some people who only see Muslims as dangerous enemies, but we ourselves and the heathen tribes we came from were all hostile enemies of God. I mean, before the Spirit of Christ came to make his home in our hearts and we trusted him. I think when Jesus comes to live in your heart, he brings his love for the whole world with him. Historically speaking, Christians have not been effective in evangelizing or planting churches amongst Muslims. And that is sugarcoating it. But God is moving in the house of Islam. More Muslims have come to follow Jesus the Messiah in the last 30 years than the last 14 centuries. Right now, there are doors opening to gain access to Muslim people groups and a growing interest amongst Muslims to learn about Jesus. To follow Isa al-Masih, Muslim background believers understand they must be willing to pay a very heavy price. So we too must be willing to pay the price of bringing the hope of Jesus Christ. Time is now, with love and respect, to invite all Muslims to follow Jesus.
All right, so just a little bit more about the caucuses. A lot of people have never heard of them. So caucuses are a mountain range in the southwestern area of Russia. If you think we don't need to send any more, just let local people do the evangelism. I'm sure you guys have heard that. Well, there aren't any local people there. There are not local Christians there yet. So in this region, yeah, so this is the map on the back of our prayer card out there on that little table we'd love for you to take. And it shows 8 million people, and there's 54 diverse people groups in between the seas, between the Caspian and the Black Sea, the most ethnically condensed, linguistically difficult place on the planet. That the Abkhazian alphabet, just for fun, we looked it up. It has 62 consonants, 3 vowels, and one of their vowels is the letter S. So it's, we've been learning Russian and learning what a brain drain that can be, but it's pretty fun, and we laugh at each other a lot. So that number of Muslim people in that on that map would be equal to adding all of the population of Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, and New Mexico, and squeezing them all into a mountain range about two-thirds the size of Wyoming. So these Caucasus people have a 99% chance of being born there, having their kids, raising their grandkids, and dying, and never even meeting a follower of Jesus, or much less hearing the gospel by any means. So that's pretty hard to imagine, right? When we were there in 2017, just one more little fact is there's 26 churches for every McDonald's here in the United States. And so we like to imagine driving down I-25 from Kalispell into Albuquerque. And when you see a city that has churches along the interstate, just picture those being mosques. And that helps you visualize yourself in that world. In 2017, Brian and I visited this ancient village of Gapshima, where I actually met this lady, Miriam. This was my first conversation with a Dargwa-speaking Muslim, and we spent the night at her and her husband Mugamed's home. Miriam is actually, we found out, she's one of the very few known Dargin believers, but she's been completely isolated from any fellowship or discipleship, and it had been years since anyone had had contact with her. I so badly wanted to tell her that she wasn't alone and just, as a woman, encourage her somehow, but the language was a huge barrier for us. So we met the village elder while we were there. We went up to a little hillside, took a hike, and he told us stories and and quoted poetry to us and just showed us his epic valley where Christian foreigners hadn't been for 1,000 years, and we were warmly welcomed. They told us while we were there, Dagestani hospitality, best in world if you survive it. All right, so this was our informant, Ahmed, we were told. He was tailing us, just keeping tabs on us, wanted to buy us dinner, insisted on driving us all around town, bought us things at a little open-air market, insisted that we wake up at 6 o'clock the next morning so he could pick us up and take us out to breakfast, and even told us next time we come that we could stay in his apartment. So we really liked him. He was super nice, and you never know who your person of peace is going to be, right? So we are super excited that we're joining a team there where we can accomplish a beginning of God's work there. So this is one of our colleagues who is a team leader that we will be joining. He and his wife and their Spanish-speaking school there that is working among one of the people groups there in the Caucasus. So the time is now, with love and respect, to pray, to send. Maybe you're a welcomer, maybe you're a goer yourself, as servants, friends, and ambassadors among Muslim peoples.
So this is my first time saying this. I'm just gonna read a little story. My father woke me just past midnight, making a sign that I should not wake the others. He handed me my shoes. Our campfire burned low and cast a flickering light on the sleeping faces of my family and friends. Away from the village we walked, my father and I, until we were climbing up through the pines. Now we could look back on the soft glow from our village. He was taking me up to the high ridge, the boundary of our people. He had seen me talking with my friends the day before, pointing toward this mountain rim and dreaming of adventures. Now, with legs pumping full of blood, ascending toward the top, he began to speak. You are drawn to the places where there are no campfires. Some will try to hinder you because there are plenty of needs in our own tribe, but they often forget how our own campfires got started. But look now, here we are, at the crest. At this, he sat down and motioned for me to do the same. We could see from here down the opposite side of the ridge, which is to say, we could see nothing. I waited for my eyes to adjust, but the darkness seemed to be a thing alive, a pot of black paint, a vast ocean of ink. How long we looked, I do not know. Don't be fooled, my father said. There are people down there. As they are, we once were. Fire starters, now forgotten, came to where we wandered in darkness. It'll be the same someday for these. Can they come to us and join our warmth and light? I asked. They are welcome to, of course, he replied, but that is not the way it happens. Others must bring it to them. There must be a sending out, a laying on of hands from our elders, a great commissioning, a leaving of all that is familiar. It is our responsibility to send the holy fire to them. The fire starters must go, lay down their own wills for the good of others, as our Messiah did. Somewhere below, I could hear a sound that I cannot describe. But if sorrow and anguish could be heard from a long way off, this is what it sounded like. I felt a grief inside too deep for words. Go back and wake your friends, my father said, his words stirring new hope into my soul. You are fire starters, the Messiah spirit. He will go with you.
Amen. Thanks, Lainey. So we're the Scots. We're out of Loveland, Colorado, in Beggars Gate Church. And we have another, they're kind of our sending church in care pieces. And we have another sending church in Casper, Wyoming. We love sending churches. We'll take as many as we can get. So, especially good ones that live strategically. I'm super stoked to be here. I rode here on a plane, and the guy sitting next to us, his shoes were polished. He was wearing the right clothes. He was working on his presentation. He was coming here to pitch a sale. You know, he had a big presentation. He was nervous acting, you know. I mean, you could just imagine. And I thought, oh, what a difference. You know, if you'd have caught me a couple of years, even way back, you might have caught me in the same boat. And I thought, man, it's so different for us. We're on a plane, and we're being sent and referred by a man we trust to a man he trusts. And these people know the Lord. And if there's a connection, with Jesus will be understood, and what we're doing will be understood, and it will inspire them, and they'll inspire us, and it'll be like that Romans letter in the beginning of Romans where Paul desired to see them, right? And so what a difference for us where we can come into a family, and this is the body of Christ. This is what we walk into. And so we go with Frontiers. We chose Frontiers in 2017 specifically because we liked their structures for field-ledness, and we liked their team structures, and they have a specific way of helping people reach Muslims in a healthy way that keeps families together. So frontline stuff, you need help. And so they've done it for many years, and we love them, and so we joined them as our sending agency. But their job is to help the local churches send people. That's their job. So that's what they're doing. So we're with Frontiers, and Frontiers strategically goes places where there aren't any pushpins already on missionary maps. Like this little town, Dombai. 16,000-foot mountains behind it, lift-accessed, desperate gospel need. Maybe there's a need for a bike shop, a bike rental, some trails, and some energetic trail builders, I'm hoping. And so got to find a way to live there legally, and the only way to do that inside of Russia is by starting businesses or taking jobs. And so that's it. You can be a student for a little while, but then you've got to find a way to be there. So we need to create jobs. We're always looking for people who will suit up, courageous people like our hero here, this fellow. It's kind of a joke, but it's not. This is what it takes. So somebody's got to get launched. And so the first people. But we take our jobs seriously. We take the work. We do the languages. We learn our fellowship, how our team operates in love and kindness and the gifts of the Spirit together to model what a fellowship would look like to people who have first contact. So that's our privilege. So what would it look like for you? What would it look like for you and some friends to get together, pray, and launch out? Salty dogs. Launch out to kind of the unknown. Maybe take the gospel of the kingdom to one of the hard yet to be reached people groups in the world. Maybe these places that are so difficult. Maybe unintelligible languages, maybe, you know, confounding governments or uncrossed cultural barriers. How would you get from proverbial A, let's just call A America, not Salt Lake, we'll call A America, established Christendom. How do you get from A to B, which is the frontiers, edges of where the gospel has not yet gone? And so, how do you get there? Well, I'm going to try to frame it with this picture. This picture. This is a wedding. She's Balkar, and she has a rifle that obviously one of her sons, her favorite son probably, has given her so that she can celebrate automatically. They're going to celebrate at a wedding, and they're going to shoot. So she has a wedding garment. Oh, you can see the tiles. So that's one of their, what they wear to weddings, the women. This is little babushka in the middle of a village in the middle of the Caucasus Mountains. Jesus loves her. He loves her. He knows right where she is today. Right? Could you learn to love her? Could I learn to love her? Could we learn to love her? How will we as foreigners get invited safely to her village? I mean, make our secure way there where everyone in her tukum, they call their village families tukums, where everyone in her tukum is fiercely afraid of change. Change hasn't been good to them. So how will we get her to be able to let us knock on her door? How will we become friends with her? What will the Spirit of God have to do to make a breakthrough for her and her family, for her tukum? So what would it look like for us, for me or you, for me and Lainey or some ladies to go knock on her village door? How would we earn the privilege of knocking on that door and, you know, you can hear her little shuffling feet. You know, she's coming. Sachas, sachas. That's Russian for just a minute. So she's coming to the door and the door opens. It's kisses on both cheeks. Welcome, welcome. Oh, go come in for tea. Take your shoes off. And just about the time, you know, we get down to take our shoes off, we almost get knocked down as the kids are sent blurring out of the house, right? To go tell the neighbors another night of Discovery Bible Study is about to begin. That's the end game. Behind that door, doing a Discovery Bible Study with her, that's the end game. That's what we're trying to get. To see a fellowship of loving believers form, not just in one person, but a whole family, a whole tikkun. When Jesus comes into it like that, whole families might get saved. Whole families will become followers of Jesus. So that's kind of the direction we're headed. And so God's deep love for that woman makes that impossible kind of task actually happen. That's what makes it happen. And so we just jump in where he's working and follow him and grab onto his leg, and he takes us in to where he loves that woman. And that's the gist of it. It sounds simple, but it's the same here. There's lots of barriers between you and the people you want to reach here. But Jesus' love for them will break down those barriers. He won't let anything stand between him and the ones he loves, right? So we just tie into that. The Muslim people of the Caucasus have yet to hear. They still have not heard. How can they believe? Well, how can they believe if someone is sent, right? Someone preaches. So simple as that. This is our vision. This is our privilege, our mission to go there and follow God into the heartlands of Muslims in the Caucasus regions of southern Russia. Jesus said to his disciples in John 10:16, he said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. They too must hear my voice. And then he said, and they will follow. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. And that's all of our dream, isn't it? We as sheep all want to be one with Jesus the shepherd, and we can't wait for him to come back. But not yet. Not yet. There is still many that he wants to bring, or he'd be appearing right now, right? So let's go get them. Let's seek them. So that's what we're doing. The time is now. With love and respect, to invite Mormons, to invite Muslims, to invite atheists, to invite anybody you know to follow Jesus. Amen? Thanks for the opportunity to be here.